At the time of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whatever the Prophet of Allah said, the people were obedient towards, based on the phrase, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make an opening. Whoever follows Allah will be successful in this world as well as in the hereafter. The ayah we recited, for example, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. As far as the believers are concerned, when they hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, there is an awakening that takes place in their hearts. وَإِذَا تُلِيَدْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادُ الْإِيمَانَ. When they recite, when they hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the iman begins to increase. They begin to feel a uniqueness to it. The person who's saying it, they may have a problem with, but the words itself, that they have no doubt about. They say, you know, maybe I'm not a good believer, but those words, there is something good about it. And this is what created success for the beginning Muslims. Even though some of them used to drink, even though some of them, before they became the best of Muslims, were involved in much haram, idol worship, they were involved in gambling, involved in drinking, involved in adultery. But the thing that created the change was when they heard that which was correct, even in a sinful state, they would say, you know what? I got to do something about this. I got to put it right. And when they would go back to doing wrong, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشًا أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنْفُمْ ذَكَرُ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا. They just say, oh Allah, you know, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah says, when they did that, I forgave them. This is what created the success. You continue with that, and you begin to see now, from there on, the Khulafa'i Rashidin come to an end, and there is a new thing that starts. Amongst them was, for example, Marwan, radiallahu ta'ala, and some will say, decided, my child must now become the leader. That's where you begin to see now a problem. Never in the history of Islam, in the history of prophets, you will see, where Allah says, father is a prophet, child must become a prophet. It never happens that way. It may have happened a few times, but generally that was not the system of Allah, where religion is not a dynasty. It's not, well, I own this, now my children must own that, and he must carry on down. It was never that way. And when you see Marwan saying, for example, by the way, we're not getting into the aspect of respecting Marwan, not respecting Marwan, may Allah bless him, and they know what they had done, and their affairs are between them and Allah, and we are just going to focus on the historical facts. When he said, make my child a leader, and when he passed away and his child did become the leader, understand one thing. And in America we talk of nepotism, etc. When you are not fit for a position and you get a position, you will ruin a society and community in general. Very important. And in Islam, a position is not sufficient based on qualifications. See, you go to some of the universities, they know more about Islam than me and you put together. So it's not just about how much Islam you know. It's how much Islam you know, and how much Islam you practice, and how much Islam you share. You share with yourself, share with your family, and those around. Very, very important. If it was just limited to Islam alone and knowledge, and you and Allah, then I'm afraid, my friends, we are in for a bigger disaster than we have seen in the past, possibly 300 to 400 years. And this was the problem with the Yazid issue, is that he just took that one aspect, my father was a leader, I have enough knowledge, and I will go with it. And he created some of the biggest fitna with killing the grandchild of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam for one reason, power. It came into one reason and linked down to one thing, power. He wanted power. And not just power, unchallenged power. That's what I want, that's what I will get. And he did everything to bring that power for himself. So where does the sympathy for him come? And this is what they say, when the children of the ones that he had killed came in front of him, he had them brought. And there was one of his guards, so to speak, that said, well, from the daughter of such and such, I will want her, even though she was very young. And Yazid at that point said, enough is enough. We've done a lot already. And this is where the ulama say, even though he committed a crime, because of that little sympathy that he had to the remainder of the family of Rasulullah, people are not, I have to be very cautious in my words, people should not just go about cursing him rampantly and leave his affairs between him and Allah and let Allah deal with him in the way Allah wishes. And for starters, Allah did already deal with him the way Allah wanted, because on the day that he was dying was the day in which the haram was being attacked. Imagine you are a leader and the haram is being attacked under your leadership. There is no more disgrace a man can go through. So the first part of Islam when you study, there was total compliance and acknowledgement. When I do wrong, I acknowledge I'm doing wrong. When I do wrong, even though I'm doing wrong, by acknowledgement, Allah loves my acknowledgement of being wrong and Allah increases my position. The second part, from there onwards, when you see the Marwan and Yazid issue, there becomes this attitude of, don't tell us what to do. And then when you go, and this is a very synopsis, all the way to the decline of Spain, not only Muslims began saying, don't tell me what to do, they began saying, don't tell me what to do, and at the same time, they began living it up. Opulence. You know, nowadays, you go in certain news medias, the most expensive car is by this Muslim individual. The most expensive, a full Rolls Royce made out of gold for such and such Muslim leader. What are we doing with ourselves? A steering wheel with full diamonds. And you can't say anything to that person, because if you said anything, who are you to tell me? I'm the leader. Did you hear the hadith that says, respect your leaders? And when that disease crept in, came into the Muslims, you begin to see the drop and the decline and the end of Muslim rule and appeal. As a side note, my brothers and sisters, understand this very well. It's a system of Allah. Whether you are a Muslim, Christian, Jew, whatever, even to the extent of an animal, if you are good in what you do, Allah will always give you more. And if you fail in being good with what you have, Allah will gradually create a decline in your civilization, in your environment, in your society, in you as an individual. This doesn't mean you'll get Jannah. The aspect of paradise is separate. That is, if you die without Iman, then it's left to Allah, and that's a separate issue. But whilst you and I are alive, this is the system of Allah. If you give in the path of Allah, if you do for Allah, you do for humanity, you extend the cause of human advancement, Allah will always give you. Thereafter came the third phase. If we were to, and this is what we are all part of right now. And the effects of this is very much on us. And we spoke about it last week in passing, is imperialism and colonialism. These things came to our countries. I mean, I'm from South Africa, we know who rules South Africa. So it's not that I'm saying something that I'm not and have experience with. And the effects of this was very brutal. And we see it even over here. I'm from this country and they from that country. My friend, your country and that country was one. No, no, no. They are different. I asked the guy, so why are they different from your... He gave me a shocking answer. He says, in our country we are fair skin and in their country they are dark skin. I said, it was all one. It's all one. It's just like Utah and Las Vegas. And I say, we in Utah are fair skin and they are dark skin. Therefore we are different. I don't understand what our youth are being taught in their homes. It just shocked me. We have culture and they don't. But you speak the same language. When you have your weddings, I see similar things taking place. You read the same Quran. Your khatibs give the same type of khutbahs. Where are we coming from? The effects of the dividing line that has been created for whatever reason we will not go into. And this divide that has been created has ripped us up as a people. Whether it's Far East, whether it's Middle East, everything was one. And I'm not saying everything must become one. That's not the political message here. The message here is Allah has created us one. But because of our negligence, because of our letting go of what is important and pertinent to us, and our deen and our religion, Allah said, you are not worthy of it. Because you're not behaving in a way that shows that you are worthy of this religion and the beauty of this religion. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا Here's the ayah. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ Allah says very simply, if you turn away, then I will find someone else to replace you and they will do justice to this given religion and do what is correct for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now you come to the fourth phase, which we all are grappling with. And we all are suffering from the effects of this. And there is a lot of confusion amongst our youth. Which phase do we fit in? Do we talk about the beginning time of Rasulullah ﷺ? And do we accept that part? And do we make that lively? Then the second part of the brain says, how can you make that lively? You cannot make that lively because it doesn't appeal with our scientific community. Now we are such that we think we have to pick and choose. Do I choose the country that I was born in, or do I choose America for my everyday living? Or to what extent do... And the young ones have to realize, you don't have to be caught up in choosing. Choosing this or that. You can be part of everything, so long as it doesn't violate your standards and what you stand for. This is very, very important. Because choosing is going to put you in a small niche, in a small area, and is going to take out the broadness that Allah has given you. So by choosing, you only destroy. That means choosing one small niche and thinking that's going to take you to the next. Rather, the best we can do, is choose from everything that is good in nature, and this has been the Islamic way. This has been the Islamic way. In fact, if you study the four Imams, if you study Islamic history, you study Islamic increase and the cause of its decline, when we become oriented towards that which is sectarian, when we become oriented towards that which divides, it only ruins ourselves and those around us. So the Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ To get back to choosing wisely and to get back to choosing in a way that creates success. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ The true believer begins to reflect upon what is part of them. A true believer begins to reflect upon what is part of them. And a believer has to ask, what is part of me? Obviously, your religion. Obviously, your Quran. Obviously, your Sunnah. Obviously, your Hadith. Obviously, your environment. These are things that are part of you. And the question is, what am I doing for that which is part of us? And as I was talking about this divide that took place in history, It was very bad because it made us choose one or the other. And there is no such thing as, at all times, me versus them or them versus me. And this brings us, of course, we have a reputable guest here, and this is not a political statement, but I want you to reflect upon what took place in the political climate in relationship to what we have talked about. For example, you get a candidate that makes a statement, we're going to build a wall, or there should be more scrutiny for certain individuals before they come to America, etc., etc. We're not going to say whether this is right or wrong. That's a separate issue that the people have to judge. But this is exactly what Muslims are going through themselves. Either you're with me or you're against me. We also heard an American president say that. And this is what Muslims have come to doing as well. Either you're with me or against me. If you're not with me, I'm going to destroy you. In fact, if you look at current Islamic history, that's exactly what we are seeing, whether it's in Syria, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's in Palestine, whether it's in parts of Somalia, you name it, it's happening. All right? But the thing that we learn about our third party candidate from a religious point of view, and this is very, very important, as Muslims we learn this, that when you have what some may view as a problem candidate, you should, whether you win or lose is not, and this is not giving any bad omen here, by the way, but the point we are trying to make here is that we have to create, or for that matter, good omen, before someone looks only at the word bad, but you have to create a solution to a problem that you have. And this is where we Muslims, unfortunately, on a global level, are lacking. We don't want to create solutions, we just want to eliminate. Right, you're not fit for the job, get out of here, that's it. Is that a solution? You only create a bigger problem for yourself and those around. So, the important lesson to what I learned from a third party candidate, if you have a problem, for example, with a candidate that the Republican Party has chosen, then bring a healthy alternative so people are not disrupted from not voting. Because the key is what? To vote. The key is not always winning or losing. The key for us Muslims is getting involved in the system. Now, before, some of us would say, I could not get involved because how could I support a person that has made racial statements? Or a person whose personal social values does not jive with me? And the list goes on and on. So the solution here was, and I really applaud this given state and those that supported this endeavor, that okay, we have a problem candidate, number one. Number two, we have someone else that we don't feel very close to in wanting to vote. So let's create a healthy solution that gives new people the ability to share new ideas and does not disrupt the overall system and allow people to be part of the system by allowing them to vote. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a very valuable lesson that we have learned as Muslims, wherein it helps us to continue to be part of the system without alienating ourselves. And if this is one lesson, I think if we take with us from here on, I think we can go, inshallah, a very, very long way. And I would like to end off with this given hadith that teaches us how to incorporate and bring in people into our system. You know, there was a person that used to make a dua, or rather he was a villager, and he came to Rasulullah and he made the dua, if I'm not mistaken, it was, Allah have mercy on me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not have mercy wala tarham ma'ana abad, and do not have mercy on anyone else beside the both of us. That's a dua he made, right? Dua was this, oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad, because he loved the Prophet of Allah, and do not have mercy on anyone else beside us. When Rasulullah heard this, he was a little bit perturbed. He says, what's going on with this fellow? He called him and said, don't make this type of dua. Don't make a prayer that way Allah must have mercy only on me and you and not the others. But look at the sincerity in his dua prayer, that his dua was accepted almost immediately. How do we know this? Well, after he made that dua, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah called him and said, don't do this. He happened to have a need and an urge. And the second part you always have heard about. And he had an urge and he wanted to urinate. So what did he do? He went in the corner of the masjid, house of Allah, prayer place, worship place, and he began urinating. And when he began doing that, the people got very upset and they wanted to beat him up. How come they were not successful in beating him up? How come they were successful in not being violent against him? Because of the dua he made. Imagine, even though the dua he made was not good, because he was reprimanded for the dua, but the dua had an effect. It had an effect where, under general circumstances, people that would have hurt him did not hurt him, which became now an incident to advance our learning of not just Islam and Hadith, which are traditions of the Prophet, but advance the cause of humanity. And thereafter, the second part you know very well, when the Prophet of Allah said to him, and said to those around, you don't just beat up people when they do something wrong. You work with them, you advise them, and key, you give them an alternative. You give them an alternative. Oh my daughter, I know you don't want to marry such and such person. How about you sharing an alternative with us? Oh my child, I know that I want you to study this and this in college. You don't want to study that. What's the alternative? Oh my Republican Party or whatever. I know people that are belonging to that party. I know you don't want to vote. What for this given candidate? Let us share an alternative. So we welcome our candidate that is coming. When I say our candidate, I mean the candidate of Utah. Because if I say our candidate, someone may think I'm giving a vote. It's not that I may not vote for him or I will vote. This is a separate issue altogether. But we welcome this individual under the idea of diversity, sharing, and teaching us a very valuable lesson. Now, to make a political point, I don't know how much we can learn from a person that has been part of the CIA or not, but that's again a separate issue. I have to always mention something political. But the key point here is, we always welcome such individuals that are part of our community, as well as those that are part, meaning part of the faith, as well as those that are part of the interfaith community, as well as the respectable individual that has wished to come by. We welcome him, we wish him all the success, and likewise, we would hope that we can continue learning together and continue becoming a better group of people, inshallah, as well. Now, welcome, our